rep for the Northeastern Area Association of State Foresters. They have a Forest Resource Planning Committee, which is part of the U.S. Forest Service. And with 50% of our budget being provided by our federal partners, it's good to work with them in any way possible. So, kind of wear two hats. I'm going to talk about the use of ArcGIS Explorer Online for our programs within the DOF at Cert Republic. And we have about 100 plus employees that help manage these programs. But we're looking at wildfire protection. That's our biggest or our primary program that we help do in the state. We have landowner assistance, which incorporates forest stewardship, managed timberland program, and forest legacy. Water quality, another program that's implemented through the Logging Sediment Control Act. We have forest products utilization and marketing, which basically deals with all the forest industry products, forest products industry in the state. State lands, we manage seven state forests within the state. And Chesapeake Bay foresters, do conservation efforts in the Bay counties in the Eastern Panhandle. And then also urban forestry. Most of these programs need some sort of mapping to help implement those. And ArcGIS on Explorer Online has been real helpful in doing this because we basically just need some type of viewer to view data and make some simple maps for our staff. I'll demo actually some of the maps that we've created and show you how simple it is and effective they are. But the ArcGIS Explorer Online application is just a free, lightweight, web-based geo-browser. So there's no software installs. I don't have to worry about admin privileges on the machines for our staff, anything, or even the size of the video card or anything like that. Yeah, it's pretty lightweight, simple application. So it does require an Esri user account, which is free. But with that, you get 2 gigabytes of storage. So but it all lives online, so there's nothing on your machine locally. So obviously, you're dependent on a web connection. Basically, you can share data through these online maps and presentations. And mostly, we share everything privately within a group that I've created within ArcGIS Online. And we can share maps back and forth with colleagues. We can also share that information publicly if we choose to, through email or social networking or even websites. There's a way to embed the map into a website. But like ArcGIS Desktop, you have access to a lot of base map information. So that's real useful for us. And hopefully this web connection, we'll see if we can demo some of these for you. Hopefully you can hear me. Oops. Okay, so go to the ArcGIS Explorer link, and so this is the page that comes up, and Esri provides a lot of maps that people are already serving out, so they have this featured map area. It always comes up until you sign in. Once you go to My Content, you can sign in to your account. Currently producing sawmills within the state. So pretty simple toolbar up here. You basically have two tabs at the top. You have a mapping tab and you have a presentation tab. So mapping, you're going to be doing all your mapping type functionality. The presentation tab allows you to create slides that you can send out as a presentation to somebody who maybe doesn't have mapping experience. Just allows you to kind of pre-create maps for them and allow them to easily navigate or get through the data that you're trying to present to them. So I'll show you some of that. But the some of the other tools here, you have a home key that takes you back to where I was. You have details, and this is where you can type information about the properties of this particular map, and it also allows you to share this information. So I can click it here and make this map public if I want to, or I can just share it with my DOF user group. And you can also get access to these other links. You can get a link to the map itself and send this to somebody, and if they have a user account, they can open this map in their web browser. But if they don't, you can share the presentation, and they'll just get a presentation link. And then you can also embed this map within an HTML website. So you click embed here, you'll get the HTML code that you can provide to your web administrator, and they can embed this particular map within the website. And you'll probably be looking at doing some of that in the future. But getting out of this, this is where you can save. You can also do a save as. So I create this map, I share it with folks. Somebody can go into this map, and I encourage them to do a save as if they're going to do make any changes or create their own map. So it saves them within their own user account and doesn't use up my 2 gigabytes of storage. They're accessing their 2 gigabytes of storage. And you have a print function, and you also have base map choices, just like you do in ArcGIS Desktop. So folks can choose whatever base map they want. And you can also add content. You can do a search. Just type in soils, for instance. And you get up all the different services, map services, that are currently being served out. There's 47 results just for the keyword of soils. Now, maybe not all this data is in this particular area, but all you have to do is simply, this U.S. Soil Survey is obviously a nationwide map, so you can easily get soil data for as a base map in this application. So, let me remove this. Back to where it was. You can do measurements, simple measurements, measure distances, areas, get coordinates. You can change the units. Simple, basic mapping type stuff that is all we really need for a lot of the programs that we
we work with.
Queries work off of services, so because we don't have our own server, we're not serving out services, so I can't do queries on our own data, but any other service that we pull in, you can do a query on. This dashboard gives you access to gadgets, and right now I have a little gadget in here that tells me whether the production of this mill is over a threshold. So I'm looking for mills that are over 10,000 MBF a year, and this particular one is 20,000. It's over that. The symbology of the features themselves can kind of tell you that, but you kind of have to go to the legend to look at that. So, you know, the bigger symbol means it's more larger production, but this little gadget allows me to kind of look at each one individually and get an quick indicator of whether it's going to meet my threshold. And you have, you know, totally configure that however you want. I'll show you that as well.
Can you do a selection set?
Yeah. Like, so you can do, select this button, you can select more than one feature, if I can work this mouse. So what it does is it summarizes the data that I've selected for features and tells you automatically it's above that threshold, plus it gives you that value. So if I'm somebody who's interested in looking at mills of a certain production, say I'm in this area right here, how many mills within my area is it going to take to get that production threshold that I'm looking for? So, but the other nice thing about this is you have these pop-ups. So I can click on a feature and get to the attribute table behind the data that was used to create this. And I have total control over this, what displays in this pop-up. And I've also got the ability to chart data. So I've got current production versus 2005 production. So, I kind of get a quick look at how this mill is doing. And, you know, most of them are down because of the economy. So, you know, current production versus production 6 years ago, it's, you know, less than half. Just in this quick little chart that I'm able to add in here. Let's see what else I can show you. So that's the dashboard. I'll show you a little bit more about that. This allows you the ability to edit a feature. So say if I zoom to this guy right here, and I've sent this map out to our forest products guy because he's out in the field working with these mills, and maybe the location's a little off, so he can zoom into this map. Sorry, I make you guys sick. Now I've lost my mill.
There you go. So you pick what layers show in the background or at different levels?
They're scale dependent. So this is a layer that Esri's topo layer. Let's see which layer this is. It's topographic, as a topographic layer. So it is scale dependent. Sorry, I lost my mill. I was trying to show you how you can edit a feature. Okay, let's see if I can zoom to it. This mouse is off. Basically, you know, so you can zoom into that mill, choose an imagery base map and look at the imagery, for instance, and determine whether it's, you know, kind of move it and put it in the right spot. It doesn't, it's not connected to the real data. It's just a representation of what's in this map. But anyway, the forest products guy I worked with, I sent him this map, and he looked at some of those mills and figured out that some of them were in the wrong place. So he did a save as of this map. Actually went in, edited the point, moved it where it should be, and sent it back to me and said, you know, kind of highlighted a few mills and said, hey, these are in the wrong location. So it's just kind of a one way we can share this information. And this allows you to select more than one feature. This allows you to zoom. Well, I could have used that tool to zoom to that mill. All right. excited about this guy. And this allows you to change the symbol for a particular feature data set. You can also bookmark areas. That would probably be a smart thing to do, is make a bookmark where that mill was so I could easily get to it for you guys, but I failed to do that. And you can also do find. You can type addresses in here, cities, whatever. It'll zoom right to it for you. So pretty handy, simple, little, lightweight mapping tool. This guy over here is your... It allows you to get to the legend or to the table of contents of the layers that exist within this. Get back to the all the mills here. And you can add features. So if I wanted to put a note on here or a text element on here, I could easily add that to this particular mill or any other location. So you can organize these layers, change the order of how they draw. You can also change the symbology pretty easily. You have all these configuration tools that you can get to. You can get to the pop-ups, and I can choose which attributes show up by using this little checkbox. I can uncheck them all, check them all, whatever, or just select the ones that I want to be able to show up in the pop-up for folks. You can also select the ones that are editable, and you can also, this media section is where you can add different charts. You have quite a few options here, bar charts, pie charts, you can add imagery, images, any kind of charting you want to do. So there's a lot of power with this little application. It's free, lightweight, easy to use. Let me show you the presentation that comes with this. So if I go with this link, hit the copy, kind of tells you that if it's not shared publicly, you may not be able to get to it. But let me turn this into a browser, paste this link into a browser. So I could send that to somebody in an email, and they get this link, they'll click on it, and this is what opens up for them. So real simple, they just get a start presentation, and it automatically starts going through these slides that I've created, and I can edit this label, the title of this particular slide, so they can just see where all the producing mills are in the state. This was a real-world example where we used the Forest Land Group, which is a rather large landowner within the state. They were interested in for them, I had their data actually in here. I kind of took it out because for this meeting, I didn't want to show the extent of their ownership. But they were particularly looking in the Mingo, Lincoln, Logan County area for mills that we're currently producing. So, I had their area in here, so that's why that title says Forest Land Group Area of Interest, basically. And then I went through and created a slide for each mill that was in that particular county for them, so they could get the production information. And I went through and did this for all those mills. So somebody who has no mapping skill whatsoever can easily get that information through this little presentation we created. And the beauty of it is this thing is dynamic. So if this within the presentation, he wants to go and click on something, he can actually pan around, click on other things, move around the map. So it's not a static map. You know, I used to create PDFs for our guys out and send them PDFs, which is just a static map. I mean, yes, you can turn layers on and off, but you only get one background. You don't have the ability to change backgrounds. You don't really have that ability here, but at least I can select some. But having it dynamics is pretty key, I think, as well. But anyway, click through, all these slides that I created for them. And I have our guys now learning how to create these presentations and sending it out to the people that they work with. Let me get to the end of it. That's it. So that's a presentation. You can lock that so it can't be edited. Let me show you another map. This is one. This is the golden-winged warbler habitat area. Our public lands manager went to a presentation. I forget who it was, but somebody had this data for the golden-winged warbler, and she was interested in seeing what the extent of that habitat area was compared to our state forest. So I've got our seven managed state forests in here. You can click on those, but you can also click on the warbler area and get the information behind the attribute table, the shape file that they sent. But, you know, with a PDF, man, it'd be hard to create a PDF map that was statewide, that had all of state forests in it with this data in it. You know, how would you, you can't really zoom, I mean, you can sort of zoom in with a PDF, but the resolution wouldn't be very good, at, you know, at the statewide level. So with this, you know, you have this interactive map that you can zoom in and out and actually change the backgrounds and look at things. So, show you more here.
Are you just bringing in your data as shapefiles, or how are you doing?
Yeah, I'll show you how that's done. Yeah, I'm instead of me sending our guys a shapefile, I'll actually create a map for them and you know, put this in our GOF group, tell them it's in there, and they'll go in and find it. And that way, I don't have a bunch of different copies of data floating around.
I can control it.
Basically, you do a add content. You can search and add, you know, just like I did with that soils layer. My content, currently, you can't really add anything like layer packages or anything like that, but I think that functionality is coming in the next version of this. But basically, you have to use the import function. And you can import a CSV or shapefile. Shapefile has to be in a zip folder, which is nice because that's a lot of times how you get a shapefile anyway because of all the multiple files that are associated with the shapefile, or you can import a GPX file from a GPS unit. But basically, you just select a shapefile. And I've got a couple shapefiles in here. And it'll ask if you want to generalize or keep the original features. Okay. And I'll bring in those sawmills that we looked at in another map. Hopefully. So it brings the data in, it gives it a, you know, a kind of a push pin, but you can control the rendering for that particular. And you have similar symbolization capabilities like you would in ArcMap Desktop. You know, you can symbol in single symbol unique values, or you can classify the data. Classify using size, and that's what I use. I use a production value, just do equal interval, whatever you want to do. It's got several statistical measures that you can use to symbolize the data, and you pick the number of classes. And you can adjust the start size and the end size. I'll change the symbol. And there are a ton of symbols. Yeah, quite a few symbols that you can use. So, you know, I'll select this guy, for instance. And back done. And you can configure the pop-ups, configure the what attributes show up. You know, in that other map, I had these turned on and off based on what I wanted to show in the particular map that I'm working with, and add charts and things that I was showing you in that other map. So it's pretty easy. You just need a shapefile and a zip folder. You are limited to 1,000 features or 10 megabyte size. So there is a limitation on what you can do. So, you know, it's not like full server functionality here. You are limited to the amount of features. So I couldn't put parcels in here or, you know, fire data. We've got 20 years of fire point data that a lot of our guys would like to see. So I can't put that in there unless I break it down by county or something like that. So you are limited in that respect. But looking at this dashboard, I've got, this is certified land, certified forest land by county within the state. Let me just turn this off so we can kind of look at a pop-up. So I click on a particular county and I get this pop-up. And it gives me a nice pie chart. It tells me this is tree farm acres. It gives me the acreage and the percentage of all the certified land. Stewardship acres. And these are just particular programs that potentially would be considered certified forest land. So we have a lot of mills that need certified wood for a particular product they're producing. So this has become important for them to use. And, you know, there's certain attributes. I've got the attributes of those the actual data in here from the attribute table. But I think the pie chart is kind of nice, too, to be able to look at. Now, you can also use a gadget. And with this gadget, you can do what's called comparison. So I can select a county, and it will show up as my primary. And then any other county I hover over, it's going to give me their data. So I can do comparisons between one county and another pretty easily. So it's a pretty neat analysis tool that's quick and easy to use to kind of figure out where things are and what the quantities are for certified lands within the state. How am I doing on time-wise? I know we're, it's like 20 till, huh? Let's see if there's anything other important things I can tell you. Well, I found that the print function isn't real handy. It just gives you the map like this. It gives you a title. But there's no legend, no scale bar. So I've actually been using screen captures. You have a way to get the scale bar and the coordinates to show up. These are the coordinates at the center of the map. But to get a scale bar in here and then also the legend, you click on this legend icon here to get the legend up. But now I can do, of course, I've covered up the map with it. You kind of have to be creative and getting everything set up. But I just do a screen capture now, and then I'll crop that down and put it into a report. I guess with that, I'll end it. Any questions at this point? I could demo the CSV. Let me show you how that works. It's pretty slick, too. You got a CSV file in here. So you can browse for a file, or you can paste it right from a table. If you have a spreadsheet with lat-lons in it or zip codes, any kind of locational data in there, you can just cut and paste that right in here. Or you can browse for a file, and you've got a CSV file for EPA, toxic release inventory that I downloaded. Just click on that. And it loads it in. You hit next. Preview the table and how it's set up, and you can select what type of field attribute, whether it's text or integer. I should be able to scroll to get to the other data, but the location. So it can actually locate by city. If it figures out that you have city data, it can locate by this. But this particular data has lat lons in it that I can. That it's actually going to use. So, a lot of data out there on the web is provided CSV, or you can download a CSV, and now I've got these EPA toxic release sites in here. And turn some of this stuff off so you can see it. There's the data right in, and then I can configure this pop-up or even symbolize it just like I did with the other data layers. So.
Steve, when you share the link out to your users or public, you don't need a user account to access it? Or do you have to have a user account?
If you do
account,
presentation, like maps you do, but so they, presentation, from my understanding, a presentation, you don't have to have an account.
But to access the maps, you want to be interactive, zoom in, zoom out, and all that, you have to have an account, Esri?
Well, the presentation is somewhat interactive. You can zoom in and out and click on the features in the presentation. So just like showed that presentation for somebody who doesn't, who's not map friendly, for instance, GIS friendly, they can just kind of navigate around, or you can set it up so that the pop-ups show up, or any other text elements or whatever you add in there can show up. But they don't necessarily have to have a user account. If you want to share the map, or if you want them to have the ability to do a save as of a map you've already created, they would have to have an account. But, you know, it's free and easy to sign up. So it's a pretty powerful tool, I think, especially for us, you know, with our folks and, you know, issues with, you know, trying to get software on our guys' machines is a nightmare. Nobody has admin privileges, and, you know, it's just really difficult. So, and this is pretty simple. There is a desktop version of ArcGIS Explorer that's much more robust, has a lot more tools, has a lot more data layer access abilities. You can bring layer packages in, or you know, rasters, image overlays. There's a lot of things you can do with the Explorer desktop, but it is a software install and it has some minimum software hardware requirements to use that particular application. Any other questions?
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
I want to just mention, I think that's built 1750. And, but
yes.
They're changing it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you go to the website.
And there's tons of this help. Documentation is pretty thorough. And you have forums, blog, but, you know, the help itself is pretty good. There's lots of videos out there on how to do things. So it's a pretty powerful resource, I think. Or being free.
I believe you do need Silverlight plugin too. I think you did it in the beginning anyway. I don't know if that's still true.
I think
that's a pretty common plugin.
Yeah, it might be. I think so. Any other questions?
Thank you.